Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please step into my office, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. So I'm rooting through the nightstand. Lo and behold, I found a couple of books that were buried inside of, well, some other books that are buried inside of my nightstand. And I thought, oh, this is exactly what Jimmy needs. Actually, it's exactly what we all need. Before we enter into a therapy session with Jimmy, would like to make it clear, biblical therapy, counseling, discipleship isn't simply about taking a Bible verse that's appropriate and slapping it on the person and saying, you're good to go. Take this verse twice a day. No, that's not what genuine biblical counseling is. It's certainly not holistic biblical counseling, but one of the keys to living a life, in my estimation, that allows you to react better to external circumstances is the burying of God's word in your heart and then pulling it out as needed. And I'm going to use a word. I know it's a little scary these days with the influence of Buddhism. You meditate on this word. You think about it. Brain games. No, they're brain wars, aren't they? The stuff that gets into your head. It can be a fight. And for some people, it is an ongoing skirmish. It just never ends with the intrusive thoughts, the obsessive thinking. It's so draining. It's so difficult. And this would actually apply to you too. Now, it might be a more strenuous application that's required in order for you to see some fruit. But if your brain is firing off thoughts that aren't true, how do you get rid of them? You can do some of the secular tricks. You know, you can put a rubber band on your wrist and snap it. I guess that kind of works or something. Or you can replace lies with truth. The book that I found in my nightstand, Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by a John G. Cruz, K-R-U-I-S. He's the founder of the Biblical Counseling Center in Jenison, Michigan. I'm sorry, I'm having an internal chuckle right now. Jimmy, there's a young man at our church. I'm not going to say it's Jason's son from the guy who leads the Fortis Direct fellow.
The guy.
Yeah, he's down the hall. His son just moved to Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's lived in Georgia his whole life. It ain't a joke, is it? It was all cute when you were thinking about going up there. Yeah, I understand it's pretty cold. Pretty cold? He's getting a big dose of Midwestern awakening right now. That's cold. Although I got to tell you, the cold in the South, I think, is colder than the cold in the North. It's like the difference between Arizona and Savannah. I know one is a state and one is a city, but Savannah, I just think drippy, humid, moist. It's like living inside of somebody's mouth. Actually, that's Houston, who incidentally, I think was number two on the most sinful cities in the nation. I don't know how they figure that stuff. It's by what people search for and what have you. And there's like 37 different sins or vices. Las Vegas was one. Houston was another. Philadelphia was on the list. Los Angeles. And Jimmy, guess who was number five?
Memphis.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
But it was more vanity sins. I believe that. Because we are Carly Simon is what we are. We just, fashion is a big thing here in Atlanta. So it landed Atlanta at number five for the sake of vanity. So Houston is like living in somebody's mouth, but Savannah ain't far behind. Contrast that to Arizona, which is a very dry place. And it gets hot in both of those zip codes, and it feels different. And people will say, they go from the South out to the Southwest. Well, at least it's a dry heat. Ditto with the cold up north. At least it's a dry cold. Down here, it's wet. It's humid in December. So when it hits 30 here, but my consolation is it ain't Michigan. Jimmy, I hold in my hand the quick scripture reference for counseling. Here's how we are going to play this therapy session. Are you ready?
I think.
I'm going to go alphabetical with the way that these subjects are listed here in the subject guide. And I'm only going to do it one letter at a time. And then I'm going to read the list and you're going to tell me which one of those sounds the most interesting to you.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
I didn't complicate this like the naughty or nice list, did
no, I don't think so.
All right. Adultery, affliction, alcohol, anger, anxiety, assurance. There's your choices. A lot of good ones in there.
Yeah.
We should probably pick two out of the A's because when you get to the D's, not so much.
Okay.
Not a lot going on.
Well, if we're going to pick two, then I'm going to go with assurance. And what else did you say? You said alcohol, anxiety.
Adultery, affliction, alcohol, anger, anxiety, assurance.
Anger.
Anger it is. We're going to go to that one first because it's closer to the front. So this is a Bible. These are Bible verses that you might want to jot down because if you struggle with this particular bent, you just blow easier than others. Just the lid comes off. Maybe some of these verses will help you if you memorize them. And then when you start to feel the temperature go up, you can bring it down. So for it, oh, wait, that's alcohol. Sorry. Hold on a second. Page 20, 27. Here we go. And the best rehearsed Christian radio program on this station at this time. So anger, here we go. Anger is not in itself sinful. What? That's right. You've got to remember there's always two types of an emotion. There's the sinful and the non-sinful. God is angry at the wicked every day. That's not a sin. It's not wrong for God to be angry, and it's not wrong for Jesus to be angry at the Pharisees. It's also not wrong for us to be righteously angry, defined as God is being offended or assaulted, not me. God is the object of somebody's scorn. That should elicit a righteous indignation. But Proverbs 14, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. Now, you could even remember just the part that addressed anger as being foolish, so that when you start feeling, you didn't put the, I only got two pickles on my Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and there's supposed to be three. I'm being foolish. I don't want to be a fool. Dial it back. Bring it down. You could go to James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God loves. You want to be doing stuff that God doesn't love? Then sin in your anger. If you want to be doing things that pleases God, not enhancing or maintaining your salvific status, but that it pleases God, then dial it back. Get it under control. Use your not acting out in sinful anger as an act of worship to God. Lord, I'm not going to get angry because I love you too much. You could go to 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You say, I didn't hear the word anger in there. Well, it's put off, put on. You can't just not, you've also got to do. So if you're feeling like you want to get torqued with somebody, the response needs to be in remembering this Bible verse. No, I'm called, I'm challenged to love this person. Okay, I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to be vindictive. I'm going to say something positive. Seek the way of love. You could do 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It is not easily angered. Maybe it helps to remember when you're being angry unrighteously, you're not being loving. Preached on this Sunday morning and quoted 1 Corinthians 13 because we read from the Westminster Larger Catechism. Usually read from the London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1689, but the Larger Catechism had this nailed. The question was, what does it look like to obey the first commandment? And it was a laundry list. It was like, oh, so many things I should be doing. How I should be praying to God, proclaiming God, letting God shape me in every way, being submissive, being obedient, proclaiming Jesus Christ, and on and on and on the list went, delighting in him. And the overall effect to me was, I can't do it. I can't do this. That's what law does. All of these things that you're supposed to do. Now, I'm not going to just throw them into the recycle bin and pretend that I don't have to do them, but I do need to remember that I just can't measure up. And it is in that moment I realize how much I need Jesus Christ, which is why the preeminent response to Jesus is love, that we love him. What did Jesus say to Peter when he was restoring him? Peter, do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Peter, will you learn a lot of theology? Will you learn a lot of theology? Will you study systematic theology? No. It was, do you love me? 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, if the believer, the one who says he's a Christian, doesn't love Jesus, he's not a Christian. Love is our chief response to the goodness of God. And that'll keep you from being so angry. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering
that takes away the sins of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy's wish is my command. This is Wretched Radio. We hit anger. You want assurance. That would be page 30 in a book that might be very helpful, especially if you're a biblical counselor. Somebody presents a sin and you want them to leave the office with Bible, or you want to share Bible with them in the midst of a conversation and you can't think of an address. Super helpful. It's called The Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling. Page 30 deals with assurance. I'm going to pick the last verse because I think there could have been more verses inside of this particular section, but this one was my favorite, not the least of which is because I'm currently studying it for the new sermon series in January at Alpharetta Bible Church. A Christian has a living hope through Christ's resurrection. It's quoting 1 Peter 3:5. Perhaps you do well to memorize this verse and trust it. And trust it. When you're feeling doubtful about your salvation, I guess a caveat is needed. Sometimes it's always good to examine ourselves on occasion to see if we're in the faith, but not a perpetual staring in the mirror. How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Because if that's all you do, believe me, you are going to identify very quickly you fall short. Instead, you want to be asking different questions. How much do I want to love him? How much do I want to serve him? How much do I want to obey him? It's the desire, because our performance is always falling short. That's why we need Jesus every hour. We need him constantly. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Well, you could just stop right there. Why were you born again? He caused you. He says that earlier, doesn't he? In 1 Peter 1, probably verse 2, 1 or 2. That through his foreknowledge, he elected you. You got saved because God saved you. He called you according to his great mercy. He's caused you to be born again. And it continues, to a living hope. So he's thinking future here. This is your salvation is coming fully through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why knowing that Jesus rose from the dead is so crucial, because if he didn't, then you don't have salvation. But if you know that he did and you know that God has caused you to be born again, then you can have assurance, can't you? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Your inheritance, it's been determined. Unlike today, if somebody puts you in a will, they can go back to the lawyer and say, I want to change it and write you out. God can't do that. He can't do that. Are there things God can't do? Yeah, he can't take you out of his will. Your inheritance is incorruptible. It is imperishable. It is eternal. And it was determined before you even took a breath of air, before you were even a little zygote. It happened in eternity past. That's what Peter is saying. So you can trust God, can't you? You can trust him because he's the one that has wrought salvation and keeps it in you to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. So your inheritance, it just keeps on keeping on for all of eternity, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What was that, like 5-6 different ways that Peter offered you assurance? 5 or 6 different ways. Memorize 3-4. That's 3 verses. And they're kind of hard because it's a little listy. I get that. But what if you buried that in your heart and the next time you wavered, you went to it and went, hold on a second. He's caused me to be saved. My inheritance is imperishable. It's not going anywhere. It's reserved for me. It's unwavering. And because it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm good. And off you go. And you might need to repeat that some people 700 times a day because of the intrusive thoughts. But then you memorize other Bible verses too. Hey, Jimmy, I think I might have just changed course.
Okay.
Believe it or not, that verse, I've already outlined that verse. This will be the sermon January 9th, I think, next year.
Okay.
And now I'm rethinking it a little bit in the light of assurance. Because I originally titled it, I don't know what the number was, like 5 benefits of your salvation. Because they're listed inside of here, that the things that we get, an inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled, it's reserved for, it talks about components and elements of our salvation. and I wanted to talk about those benefits, but now I'm thinking, assurance better be in that list somewhere, Friel. Jimmy, this is... I'm working on the Advent sermons. I know you didn't ask. And by the way, we're not going to do this today because, wow, people got just lit up about the Paul Washer clip. I'll tell you what. I actually will play it for you. But we're not going to... I'm going to do my very best to not talk about this because this was a quote that Paul Washer... Or I don't know where he was. It looked like he might have been at Grace Community Church. But oofta, did people get the comments.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors. When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class.
Wow, I want to say something about that. Like, amen!
I want to hear preaching. I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me. I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with because the subject matter is worthy of it. And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text.
Trying to recall how many years we've been saying that, not as passionately as Paul, but nevertheless, as often as Paul just did. Big fan of expository preaching. Make no mistake about it. Big fan of expository preaching. But it is not expository preaching if all you do is download facts. It's not preaching. It's teaching. It can be systematic. It can be thorough. But preaching is more than just teaching.
No, there should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
But I'm not talking about that right now. Jimmy, are you ready for the letter B?
I am.
Here we go. Bitterness, blame shit.
Let's just stop there.
Okay. Bitterness, page 32. You know, there's some radio programs that actually prepare and have the page ready, but I didn't know what you... Okay, bitterness and resentment. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness. Well, that should be enough right there. Rage and anger. Okay, if you happen to have a root of bitterness, you need to know it's a tough one. It really is, but it's got to go. That's what that verse just commanded you. It's got to go. Get rid of bitterness. Look at what it's linked to. Rage. Anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So bitterness is anger. It's malice, and it can manifest itself in nasty business, can it? Maybe just the gossip, maybe just the slander. Maybe you do bad things to somebody that has bugged you or done you wrong. This is a command. It's a charge. You got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of this. Be kind and compassionate. Okay, so here, put it off. Get rid of that bitterness. Be compassionate. Put that on. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So it would appear in this text that bitterness is closely linked to a lack of unforgiveness. That's what it's linked to. Sorry, there's a synapse or a segue somewhere in my brain right now. On Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, talked about the connection of the fervency of your faith with a recognition of three things, a recognition of three things that will increase your love for the Lord, or will perhaps reveal why you don't have as much love for the Lord. And it really comes from Luke 12, that she who is forgiven much loves much. That is a forever key for you right there. If you're not loving the Lord the way that you should, it's because you're not at the moment appreciating how much you've been forgiven and what Jesus Christ has gone through to forgive you and how amazing and precious it is that he not only offers us salvation and every gift in the heavenly realms, but he offers us himself. And those were the three things that we talked about. We're failing to remember our need. We're failing to remember the gift, not just of the gifts, but Jesus Christ himself, the person. and the sacrifice that he made, when you perpetually dwell on those things, guess what's going to happen? You're going to realize how much you're perpetually being forgiven, and it's going to grow your love for God. Do you want your love to grow for God? Now, we've heard this a gazillion times. You should preach the gospel to yourself every day. Okay, won't argue with that. It wouldn't make it a law, but I wouldn't argue with that. But I would say make sure that you remember as part of that gospel, don't glance over your amazing, staggering deficiencies and your great need for Jesus Christ. And then consider what he provides in his person and in his work and what he did to secure it for you, and you will grow in love. How do you get rid of bitterness? It's the same sort of formula. Grow in your love for Jesus by studying him and how he forgave. You will be able to forgive more, and you will be able to uproot that root of bitterness. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.